a symbol of something. Glamour, vision, adventure, the white-hot future that was coming. Early in the 21st century, around about the time we were realising that that particular future wasn't coming for most of us down below, I had lunch at the top of that tower in the restaurant that used to revolve, the restaurant of failed dreams, with a man who helped build it. I was filming an interview with Tony Benn, grand old firebrand of the labour movement, about the building's history. In 1966, along with holiday camp magnate Billy Butlin, as Postmaster General, he opened what was then called the GPO, or General Post Office Tower, a new and thrilling addition to the London skyline, commissioned by the state, designed by civil servants, the draftsmen and architects of the Ministry of Public Buildings. Neither of those positions or organisations exist now. When a new Britain began to emerge at the end of the 1970s, as one of the first of what would become countless privatisations, the GPO Tower became first the Post Office Tower, then the Telecom Tower, and finally the BT Tower. As Tony Benn and I sat talking in the quiet restaurant Eyrie, closed to the public for decades on the vague and spurious grounds of it being a terrorist target, I could sense the mounting anxiety of the slick, besuited PR man lurking nearby. Eventually, he sidled over to our table. "Stuart, Tony, hi. I can't help noticing, guys, that you've been referring to the building as the GPO Tower," he laughed nervously. "It's not been that for a long, long time, guys. Can I just remind you, it's the BT Tower, as in British Telecom, who own it." Ben fixed him with a stare that combined pity and scorn. "Excuse me, I oversaw the opening of this building. It was built using British labour and skills with the money of the British people who paid for it with their taxes. It belongs to them and always will. Margaret Thatcher took it from them and gave it to you when it was not hers to give. This is not your building, it's theirs." And he pointed to the streets below and the busy, swarming, preoccupied workers. "And it was stolen from them." The PR man, wilting and tasting defeat, moved silently back into the shadows. Ben turned to me, rolled his eyes, and winked. At that point, the seed of this book was planted. What happened to the GPO Tower was the start of a story. This is it. This is my story, your story, and how it was stolen from us. I am a child of the state. You are too. That's my guess. We were born into the stern but loving embrace of one of its hospitals, red brick, concrete, or steel and glass, raised in one of its compact, sturdy little houses, and educated in its solid, unshowy but decent schools. Our minds were opened and filled by its silent and magical libraries, its drafty museums and echoing galleries, places of wonder travelled to on buses and trains that were unsexy and asthmatic, but ran on time and went regularly to all the places we wanted to go. We ran and laughed and grew healthy and fit and were hale and naughty in its little local parks and its huge national ones, its swimming baths reeking of chlorine, its muddied sports fields, on its putting greens and the cracked, weed-choked asphalt of its municipal tennis courts. I have lived most of my life a happy and grateful citizen of the state. I will die in its arms. If you're one of those people who styles themselves a libertarian or a contrarian, this may make me appear an unthinking automaton, a gulled and brainwashed serf, but perhaps only to those who have lived or who desire an entirely privatised life, born outside the NHS, educated at a private school perhaps, a stranger to public transport and recreation, living somewhere perhaps even gated, far from the towns and streets most of us knew. These people are fewer than you might think. Most of us will never come into contact with them, never clink a glass with them, never dance with them, never wet their babies' heads or put a consoling arm around them. They are few and they are untypical. But they wield a power far in excess of